copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
First of all, who of you ever in your life took some kind of like spiritual gift tests so you would know what is your main gifting? Okay, some of you, okay. And we know, we can find in different parts in the scripture, we can find different categories of spiritual gifts. But when we are counting like the biggest piles of the gifts, we can say that we have like five kinds, let's say. We have, can you say me, which five we think?
Teachers,
perfect. Teachers.
Evangelists.
You said pastors?
Yes.
Pastors or shepherds? Mm-hmm. Shepherds.
Apostles.
And prophets. Mm-hmm. So we have these five big piles. So choosing from these five, if you should choose, who of you would say that you are teachers? Who would say that you are teacher? Okay. Who of you would say that you are evangelist? Okay, prophets. Okay, apostle. Apostle? No. Okay. So the prolíva. Okay, and shepherds. I'm glad. Okay, great. Because today we are going to speak a lot from the shepherd's heart. Okay, but before we move on, I just want you to notice something, that in these five big categories, there is shepherding, but there is not discipleship making. It's not in the list. And I've heard many great preachings on that, and my personal
Thank you.
You can read my mind, that's great. Yeah, conviction and opinion is that it's not in the list because it's not optional. It's not like saying like, you know, you may be disciple maker if you have this gifting. It's done for everybody. In Matthew, in the end, when Jesus was leaving, he said, it's not, you know, like when you feel like that, or, you know, when you have extra time, or when you have people who are interested. He said that we should go. And as we are going, we should make disciples, okay? So we were trying to give you this idea throughout this week a lot of times, to go always back to the heart of discipleship. But today I would like to tell you my story and then give you a few just practical ideas that might be helpful to you at one point or another. So just tell me, who of you is currently leading somebody in like discipling somebody, one person or small group? Great, perfect. Okay, so I think this is going to be really helpful for all of us, and we can learn from each other. Okay, so I don't know if you know what is the name of the session, but it's called From 1 to 3 to 12. And it's just the name that could help us to understand that there is always a way how we can multiply and how we can make our discipleship ministry even stronger. And that's what we are going to try to accomplish today. So let's just go very quickly through possibilities. And please just tell me which one is in your heart more. Is it one-on-one discipleship? You know, that you meet one person and you mentor them, and you put your time into them. Who of you is doing that? That you have one person and you're meeting with them? Okay, so those people who raised hands, can you tell me what are the advantages of that? Why do you think meeting one-on-one is really good choice? What do you think? What would you say? What are the positive sides of that? People can share their lives. More of conversations, and they can be personal. Uh-huh, great. They can more concentrate on that one person. Great.
On their needs.
Yes, you can react on their needs. Perfect, yes. Thanks. And that's what you actually said, that sometimes it's much easier to build trust with that people. They have your undivided attention. You can really respond on who they are. So that's really great way of doing that. And it's perfect if you are doing that.
But my other question is, who is working more in discipleship small groups that you have? 3, 4, 5 different. Okay, so we have some other people. Can you tell me how many people do you have? 6 different groups. Mm-hmm. And how many people are usually in one group?
Usually in one group there are 8 or 9.
Whoa, that's big groups and a lot of them. Okay. Okay, and so okay, so this is, these are the good numbers. And I brought some pictures of the small groups I've been leading throughout last 10 or 12 years. I don't know, maybe not all of you agree with the mixed small groups, and I know there is a lot of danger into it. I didn't choose it. I cried a lot of nights because of having 7 boys and 2 girls in one small group. But I just wanted to tell you that I used to lead boys and girls, so hopefully this is not going to be too girly. You know, like, okay, thank you are doing this, you know, scarves in your small group. It's absolutely not helpful for me because I'm leading manly guys. So I used to have guys in the small group as well, so... just please try to tell me now, what do you think is, on the other hand, when you compare it to one-on-one discipleship, advantage when you have more people? Why is it positive?
They can share experience.
They can share experience.
They can learn from each other.
They can learn from each other. Perfect. So they can be in a community, they can shape each other, and they also can build strong Christian friendships outside of the group. So they have friends, as even if they finish the discipleship small group, they have friends they can lean on who are Christians and who trust Jesus. So that's really, really great. Okay. So let me just share my story with you. When I was 17, I was invited to... Or before, even before I was invited, I was living in the village called Kukova. I'm pretty sure this is your only one time in your life when you've heard about this village, so remember that. Kukova is a village of 700 people. There is a church, there is a pub, and there are a few houses, and that's it. And in our village, we had a youth group of like maybe, I don't know, 10 or 15 people who have really close friends. But now I can say it was more of the club society, you know, like we met and we talked, and if somebody new came, they were totally not accepted. And I thought it was okay because I was part of the group, so I was happy and I was really young. Everybody else was much older than me in the group. But then when I was 17, I was invited to go to States for a summer. And I didn't speak very good English back then, and I was very shy, so I came there. And for the first time in my life, I felt, how does it feel to be on the other side? That you come somewhere and nobody talks to you. You sit down, nobody sits next to you, nobody cares. And it was actually church. I was invited to be part of the church and I was invited to be part of the youth group, but they just didn't care. And after 2 weeks of life like that, sitting by myself all the time, I remember then one evening I ran out of the church, I sat down on the street and I cried and cried. And then I gave a promise to God, and I'm trying to keep this promise until today. And I said, like, God, I promise you now, from now on, I will never ever let anybody feel like I feel right now when I'm there, when I'm present. I just want to be like you and just accept people. So I made this promise. I came back after summer. I came to my youth group full of this new vision, saying like, we did everything wrong. We have to love people. We have to accept them. And they looked at me like, my dear, go home, sleep on it. It will go away. It will be fine. But it didn't, because God broke my heart. He broke my heart. So then I was invited by our pastor to start to work with younger youth group. It means with people from 12 till 15. I was 18. And so we started our first younger youth group. It was me. It was my brother, because he had to be there because I was leading it. And our neighbor, who was my brother's best friend. So 3 of us met in a church building. We prepared all of these icebreakers and great food and great teaching. And it was only 3 of us. And then following week, we prepared everything and it was only 3 of us. And it continued, I won't bore you, but it went like that for 3 months. Nobody else came. Our pastor tried to talk about it in the church, and we were trying to put the posters up. Nobody came. And so after 3 months, the Spirit started to talk to me and telling me, like, you know what, maybe it's not very natural for people to come to church. Maybe the church have to come to them. And I was like, oh my goodness, okay. So where are the young people in our village? I don't know, maybe if you are from villages, you know that all young people are usually on the playing fields. Like, the, you know, you have one playing yard in the village, and all young people are there every night playing soccer usually. Okay, you looking at me probably know I'm not the best athlete ever. So I chose the shoes that might be pretty good for playing soccer. And I went out there and I was praying the whole time, like, God, you know what, you just pay attention to that. This is meaning like Fremont diamonds on my crown of glory in the heaven. Like, you just better just pay attention to this. So I came to the playing field. All these guys looked at me like, what does she want here? Like, this is really weird. So I asked if I can play with them. So I was a goalkeeper for 2 games. It was really bad, let's not go to the details. But when we finished, you know, usually you have these little booths there, and people usually sit there after they play, and they talk and talk and talk for hours, and smoke and drink and talk. So I was sitting there with them, and we started to talk. And they had a lot of questions, because it was really not natural that I was there. So they asked me, what do I want there? So I said that I wanted to meet them. And one of the guys started to talk about that he has a test in maths and he really doesn't understand. So another thing you should know about me is that when there is something even worse than soccer for me, that would be mathematics. Like, I really suck. I'm really, really bad. So of course I said, like, of course I can teach you. Just come to my house and we will go through the material and I'll teach you everything. Then I came home and I was studying for 12 hours, you know, all this easy stuff that I was supposed to teach him so it wouldn't be like total disaster. So he came, his name was Dusan, and he came to my room and he started to go through my CDs and books, and he was like, oh, you have a lot of Christian CDs, like, why is that? So we started to talk, he borrowed some of the CDs, and he asked if he can invite his friends and come tomorrow with 3 other friends. So they came, and I said, like, you know what, like, we can hang out here, but also we are meeting on Fridays usually in a church. They were like, oh, okay. So 10 of these footballers from the village came to the church next Friday. And they really started to ask a lot of questions. And so we started to explain gospel to them. And because they were the coolest kids in the village, next week we had another 20 people coming in. And so every week it was more and more. And the village of 700, we have 75 kids in our church building in 5 months' time. And all of them were there. Basically, every young person that was in the age group came. Catholics, Lutherans, everybody came to the church building. And so our ministry in our village started. And I don't know if there is something in the water or air in our village, as I told you before. I don't know if I told you the story, but we have so many men in the church and just a little women. And so we had like 60 guys and just 12 girls in our ministry. So basically when I wanted to form the team that would help me lead the ministry, but also the team, the people I would disciple, that was demographically, there were 7 boys and 2 girls because there were just so many boys there. So that's how we started, and I just wanted to go through some principles with you. We talked about this, that the first point is come and see, and these are the guys. I started to go, they are the footballers that I came. And actually, all of them, really, like all of them trusted the Lord. So then when they played the village games, they were praying before playing for the village. So that was pretty interesting. And that's my parents' kitchen. They just used to be there all the time. And that is what I want to encourage you. Maybe some of you already are living by yourself and you have your own house. I didn't. I was living with my parents, and it was just so helpful that they understood my ministry, because I couldn't do it without him, because these kids were in our house all the time. But even when I wasn't there, they knew where the key was. And I was usually, because I was studying at university, so I was coming every Friday back home. By the time I came home, 20 people were in my room eating. So my dad came home, he just looked at the fridge, he counted the shoes, he was like, okay. But they had a lot of grace, and it really, really helped. But what I wanted to express to you and really encourage you, sometimes it's naive to expect that people will come to church. The church needs to come to them. Mm-hmm. And in your context, it can be something else. But also, it can be the same uncomfortable as it was for me. God might ask you to go to the artist school, you know, and you will have to paint in order to start talking to people. It can be outside of your comfort zone, but God knows what he's doing all the time. So I wanted to show you this picture because it was probably the only picture I have when it was real moment when somebody was accepting Christ and somebody took it. But I really love that picture. That's Andy and Dusan. That was the guy who was the first one, and Andy was the second one who came to Christ, and they were coming to our house all the time. And Slavči was accepting Christ in this moment. But what was really cool thing, in that time, my mom was a Christian, my dad wasn't. And in that time, in the moment that is on the picture, my dad was standing behind the door and he was listening. Because he was like, what are you talking about for such a long hours? Like, I don't understand. So he was standing in the hall and he was listening. And then later he said that now he's saved for 10 years. But he said that it was the moment for the first time when he heard the gospel in the way that he understood it. And his heart started to change. It was exactly that moment. So byproduct of youth ministry in our church was that my dad got saved, which is amazing. Now he's leading the church. Then we cannot stop there. We talked about that we have to make them actually follower of Christ. And I'm having few ideas for you, but maybe before I would ask Natalka, because Natalka, this is exact moment when we can actually model what we are doing, because Natalka is hearing everything I'm saying, and she is actually in my small group, so she can say like, that's absolutely not true, or she can say amen to that. But I wanted her to say maybe how our meetings are usually looking like, what are we talking about, so we would have idea, like how the follow me part is looking in our small group.
Right. Okay, so we meet once a week for like 2, maximum 3 hours. And yeah, I mean, that's just the basic structure. And we start with like praying, and then we share each other, like, what was the week like, how did it go with anything. But we try to talk about like our lives with God, not just like school stuff or something else. And then, yeah, of course, we have the main topic we talk about. And Maruška, this year we went through lots of different stuff. And for like probably 6 months, probably 4 months, we were talking about, that was like one big series called Back to the Garden. And those were the Bible principles of marriage. Because Maruška is getting married and she's learning it, so she was also teaching that to us, the girls. And we've also talked about some stuff like money, how for 1 month we had small groups just about money. All the people were like, how, what did you talk about for 4 times just about money? How does it connect with God and stuff? But it was really, really useful, and really, there were lots of stuff there. Also, we went through like our what we talk, like our songs,
mouth,
of course. We've talked about that. Then we are talking about hospitality and things like that, connected to that.
So all of it together is basically based on Proverbs 30.
Oh yeah, of course. The whole thing we are going through now is based on the part of the Proverbs at the very end, the 31st chapter, which is called like, I don't know what you have, but some, like real biblical woman is this, and there are lots of principles. We're going through those.
Thank you, Natalka. I'll ask you a few more questions, but you can sit down. When I started to lead a small group, when Natalka is in, these are the girls who know Christ, who have a lot of knowledge, but we learned that there are some character issues we need to talk about. So we decided that as girls, we are going to talk about stuff that there are their total weaknesses. It means speaking, you know, bad-mouthing people, not using our tongue well. Then we moved to the money, because all of them said, like, I just can't save anything, I'll just buy stuff, I have no plan. No, absolutely no plan. So went through stuff like that. And actually last year, when I had this session, then people came to me afterwards and they were like, you know what, but tell me, what is your plan when you're usually leading the small group? What are you talking about? And four people came. So I decided to, in order so you don't have to come later, to tell you now. And I would like to use this. It's not a promo because it's anyway in Slovak. It won't help you. But me and my friend who are doing the girls' discipleship, we don't have anything like that in Slovakia. So we published a book for the girls. And it's called Vo Vitrine, which means on the display, because we believe that discipleship should be lived in the way Jesus lived it. It means that you are like on display for people. They can really see your life. They can see your faults. They can see you apologizing. They can see your repenting, they can see your strong sides and your weak sides. So that's why it's called On Display. And we start, and this is something, if you are interested, you can take notes. We started with the gospel. So it's four, Natálka, my tu nemáme tieto zvyšné luky, asi čo? Hej, donies ich. We have one gift for you. Natálka is going to run to our room to get it. We start with the gospel, 4 weeks a study of the gospel. It's called Luke, and we have this material for you. We want to give it to you in envelopes. It's in English. It's really great material, how you can go in 4 weeks through gospel with people. And then we continue with like basic stuff, you know, talking about the church, talking about Bible, talking about the fellowship, why it's important. And then we go to harder, like, you know, we go to the some names in the Bible so they would know some characters, and then we go to this character stuff Natálka was telling you about. And it's not only for girls. I'll show you something, because my fiance, he was always stealing my papers. As I wrote the chapter, he would always take it and use it at his small group, and I was like, it's a book for girls. It was like, I am changing gender when I read it, of course. So then we realized, like, okay, so then we are using these little cars, and everywhere where there is a car, it's actually a unisex chapter. You can use this for boys or for girls. It's like very, very, very basic material. And then there are these big cars, and these big cars are like, it's not really for boys, but when boys read it, they can actually understand women better. So the car is really big because it's like really helpful information. So for our friends in Czech, it might be helpful for you, but probably not for other countries, I'm sorry. But we start with actually the teaching them, like, what is important. And I know some of you, when you are leading a small group or one-on-one discipleship, because of who you are, you probably put emphasis on something. It means that if you love Bible, if you are a teacher, you probably meet with them and you teach. And you teach and you teach and you teach and you teach and then you send them home. Or when you are a prayer warrior, your heart is to pray with people. So you meet and you pray and you pray and you pray and you teach something and then you pray some more and then you go home. And this is okay, but we have to take to the consideration who are the people we are taking care of. So we are trying to invite people to this understanding that there are a few different parts, and we start with activity. And when you are having teenagers in your small group, it's really important. So to every topic, we always prepare activity or icebreaker. So we start with something, they do something, but when it's not only like game, but when they do something, after they finish, they're like, oh, I think this is going to be the topic today. So because the activity is leading them to thinking about it. And then we are having always the scripture we are going to use, usually from Old Testament and New Testament, the story and the New Testament. And then we have questions about life. You always go from easy questions to really deep questions. And you can make your own, but it's really good to ask people about their week, about their life, because then it's just like church, just like another church for them. When you just preach and preach and preach and then you send them home, you don't have give them space to ask you questions and answer and talk about their life, that's it. Then there are three main points and the homework. And this is one thing I really want to encourage you to do, is to challenge people. Because if you are only giving them stuff and other stuff to learn, and they leave, but you don't challenge them to very, very specific step they can take, they will probably don't even remember next week what you are talking about. So the homework is really important. And for example, some of them, like for example, when we're talking about our value as women, their homework was to go home and erase all pictures from the Facebook they would not show your value, and they would be kind of like on the edge on what you are wearing or the poses, you know, teenagers and their selfies. So it's like if there are any pictures that are not showing your value, go home and erase all those pictures from Facebook. So you know, it has to be really specific, and it has to be challenged in their world that would make sense and that would make difference in their world, not in yours. Okay. The biggest age difference between you and person you are leading, you have to try harder. When you are leading just somebody 1 year younger than you are, it's easy. But sometimes I have to really try to think how they are thinking, so it would be really helpful for them. Okay, and now, I don't want to scare you with that, because we don't have to be really super creative people in order for young people to be, small group to be interesting. You can steal ideas, as Terry said. You can just find a lot of ideas. And we prepared this little material, and we are going to try now. We prepared these little cards, and these yellow cards are the questions, like when you are leading somebody and you meet with them and travel with them somewhere and it's awkward silence and really don't know what to ask, and you know, it needs to be stirred up somehow. So there are some cool questions you can ask people. And then in this site, you have some things you can do with people outside of the small group. Okay, so there are challenges you can do with your people. So now all of you will take one question and one challenge, and the challenge you are going to do with your people when you come home. That's your home, your final homework. And the question we are going to answer now. So we will go around, and if there is a question you really, really like, or some activity you really, really like, please write it down so we'll have idea, okay? And the question is, are you having a date with Christ every day? If yes, what did he tell you today? What were you talking about? Have a sleepover with your small group. Or take them somewhere for a weekend. Mm-hmm. Okay? And what is the most courageous thing you've done in your life? That's the question we will talk about. Okay? What is the way that God speaks to you the most in the most significant way? Okay? Okay, and the challenge for Katka was, if you were in any interesting seminar lately, or you were listening to some really good sermon, send a link to people you are leading. Okay, so the question is, when are you... Okay, what makes you happy? What makes you happy? When did you feel happy during last week? Okay? And your challenge is, invite people you are leading to your home and prepare dinner for them or something, but invite them to your room, to your home. Okay? Moshe? Mm-hmm. Okay. What are the things you are thankful to God, especially this week? Huh? Okay, if she's studying in some other city, go to her dorm or his dorm or the city where she lives, and try to discover her world or his world. Okay, that's the one we can change gender, and so call somebody. Yeah, you can take them for a beer. That's fine. Okay, and the question? If you have time for yourself, like you have a longer period of time and it's just for yourself, how would you use it?
Which music do you have in your MP3?
Uh-huh. This sounds like just such a simple question, but it is such a good question for young people, because they start to share about new bands and about the music they like, and they will give you headphones and you will listen to a lot of music, from my experience. Mm-hmm, that's a really cool question. What would you do if you have Christ for 24 hours? He would be physically next to you. What would you do? And? Uh-huh. So pray for this person forever, for next week. Oh, every day. What kind of relationship do you have? But your Slovak is incredible. I'm very proud of you. You are trying to figure it out. That's really great. So what kind of relationship do you have with your mom and dad? And what do you like about them? What do you appreciate about them? And invite your people to the cinema or to the theater. You can choose, depends on how people you are leading, what kind of people you are leading, okay? What is your prayer life like? Take this person to visit somebody who you can learn from. Mm-hmm. So it's somebody who you like and you learn from, and you can take this young person with you, so both of you can learn. Uh-huh. That's great. What do you think is your biggest talent or gift? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. If you could change your past, what would you change? That's a really good question. Okay. Make a plan for reading Bible together, and Skype and call each other if you cannot do it in person. Okay, so you can answer your questions, okay, now. But realistically, about your own life, answer the question. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for answers. But the questions weren't really, as deep or life-changing that you should take so much time to talk about them. But what we wanted to show you is that asking questions is... We just made them up from the experience that sometimes we were like... We have one friend who asks the most ridiculous questions ever, but people love them. Like, for example, she's like, so what kind of food do you feel like today? You know, and you're like scrambled eggs, you know, like bad. You know, and you can make up the food that would represent how you feel in this moment. So she's making up these crazy questions. And so we used some of her questions, but you know, it's really good to be creative. And some of them are just funny, but some of them you can go so much deep with. And I really believe that sometimes asking questions is even more important than teaching people. Because when they're reading their Bibles at home, sometimes when you ask the right question in the right moment, you can move these people, because then the Spirit can use the questions and convince them by himself. You don't have to do it from outside, but the Spirit does it through the question. So please, if you haven't used it until now, use questions in your discipleship. It's really important, okay? And come up with really good questions and really cool questions. Now, this is the gift for you, but... It costs a lot of money, so I have to make sure that when we give it to you, you will really use it. So only the people who will promise that will use it will get it, okay? Because this is the coolest material how I've seen and my girls try to share the gospel with. You have all instructions on one paper, so you can read it later. But this is actually that when you invite somebody for a coffee and say, like, you know what, like, I would like to tell you what I believe in. And I would like to invite you for a coffee for 45 minutes. For 4 weeks, but any week you can say that you don't want to continue anymore. It's 4 weeks, four coffees, I pay, 45 minutes, and I just would like to tell you what I believe in. And this is a perfect material prepared. This is the number one, a look at yourself. And this is like four steps of gospel in 4 weeks in a really cool way. And you always give people only first, so you don't give them all four of them. You give them only first, so they want to meet you next week, okay, and talk about it next week. So this is a really cool thing, but only people who will promise that they will actually go through that with somebody, with some of your students who didn't accept Christ yet, you will get it. So who is promising that you will really do it? It's for boys and for girls. It's unisex, and it's really good one, okay? So that was Luke. That's really good material. I wanted to show you one more. This is I'll show you the version that is not destroyed. It was in my bag for 1 week. So this is a material we prepare for people when they go to, let's say you are taking your guys or your girls for a weekend somewhere. And you want them to spend time with the Lord. You can do it in a way that you send them out with their Bibles and say, like, come back in 3 hours. Or you can really prepare well for that time. And so we prepare this material. So everybody gets an envelope as they go out. And they have the time ready for everything that they're going to study. So we start with saying, like, find a peaceful place. Find a really nice place in the nature when there is quiet. Nobody is disturbing you. And wait for the Lord. Just wait for the Lord to come. And you would be surprised, but some of those young people probably for the first time will be quiet for 45 minutes and they'll just wait for the Lord. And sometimes it's awkward, but you are training them. You are teaching them that sometimes they have to wait for the Lord. And then you give them scriptures, and I usually write it by hand, and I usually write specifically for the person, for every girl, I write the scripture so she can read it, and it's very personal to her life. When I see that she's struggling with something or she needs to learn something, I write it for her. I pray prophetically before I do it, and I write it especially to people. And then you give them space so they can take notes. So they take their Bible, they take the envelope, and you know, even if you write their name on the top and you write it with the hand, it's just so cool for them that they know that it's their time with the Lord. And finally, it makes all the difference. And my friend this year, he made a upgraded version of that. And because he didn't go to the nature, he was in the city. So imagine he prepared a walk through the city. So he prepared the map. He prepared places where they should stop, They also had MP3 music playing, like a soundtrack when they were walking through the city. And at every stop, they had some certain passage they should read and think about, and questions they were asked. So this is more creative way, but you know, you can provide a perfect environment for people to meet with the Lord special way. And unfortunately, it's on your plate. When you are discipling somebody, it's on your plate. You are the one who should do it. I think I have an English version of that, if you would like to see that. Okay, so this is one of the things. And let us just go through a few ideas. What is happening in discipleship, that sometimes you actually have to give up your privacy. It means sometimes that your door are open for young people to come and observe your life. And it can be challenging sometimes, because I've experienced for 10 years that my privacy wasn't existing. I didn't have any, because people were in my room all the time. But on the number two is that actually that creates space for observing. And that is actually why Natalka is here with me. Last year when we were finishing the network, and they asked me if I would come and do it next year, I said, I'm really sorry, but I'll have a wedding next year. There's just so many things, I'm not coming. And Dave Petty, he is very good in persuading people to everything. So he was like, but you know what, how could you use this time also for something else? Like, how can I help you? So this time would be valuable outside of teaching, which is great. I was like, you know what, if you would give me space to take somebody with me, I am discipling, so I could spend a week with that person, train them, teach them. They could help me lead, and we could just have quality time. If you give me the space, I'll go. It was just a slight blackmailing, but I really wanted to use this as for model making. So they said, they told me then half a year later, okay, can take one person. So then I was thinking, who would benefit the most from my girls? Who would be the best for it? Who would benefit the most? Who would like this conference and who could learn? And I can see Natalka potential that she one day, I think she's going to be a great speaker. And when she speaks, people are really listening to her. She's blessed in that and anointed. So I decided, I'll take her and I'll teach her. And I will have 1 week for that. So that's what I'm talking about. Always when you have opportunity, take everybody along you can. You know, just take your kids with you everywhere you can. Okay, and some ideas. We have to, if we want to be doing discipleship as Jesus did it, we have to be very vulnerable. And we are risking our hearts. So sometimes you do everything what we said, and you approach this person, and you give them your heart, and they tear apart very slowly and throw it away. And this is an option, what can happen. But you know what? It happened to Jesus as well. And Jesus wasn't 100% successful. 10 people, you know, people betrayed him, people left him, and yet still he did it this way. So I think this is just the right way to do it. It's really important to know the people you are leading, who they are. Like I said, I know that Natalka has certain gifts, so that's why she was chosen to come here. But the most important is to know where you lead them, and that's Christ. And we just have to understand that these disciples are not discipleship, but disciples of Maruška or disciples of Katka. They are disciples of Jesus Christ. And that takes a lot, a big lesson of just humbleness and humility to say, because, you know, when people love you and they want to know your opinion, you know, it's boosting our ego. You know, we are happy that we are loved and listened to, and it's just so cool. But we always have to take them and their attention and say, look, there is Jesus. Let's go to him and ask him what he thinks. What I think, you don't need to hear. We need to know what Jesus thinks. Okay? So let's please remember that Jesus is the one we really need to look up to. We came up with one really cool idea. And I don't know if you are frustrated as me that when you prepare really cool small group and people don't come. And it's so frustrating for me that they will not be there and they will not hear that. So we came up with this idea, and I really, really think you should use it. So when somebody is missing, we say okay, Tanička is missing. Natalka, could you listen really carefully what we are talking about? Because you are going to meet with Tanička and tell her everything we learned. So then, even our two girls are missing, then two another girls are listening, so they would go and say to them. So few things are happening at the same time. First, Natalka is listening much more carefully than she wouldn't be if she wouldn't know that she's going to teach it next day to somebody else. They're going to meet outside of the small group, so their friendship is stronger. But also, Natalka is practicing her speaking skills just with one person, so she's growing in the gifting. And during last 8 months, nobody missed any single teaching we had a small group, because we always had somebody who would tell them and who would meet with them and teach them. It's just a very simple tool, but it's working really, really well. But you have to really make people, you know, like, so you are the one that is going to teach them, you know, like, you have to listen carefully. So they have this, you know, responsibility to do it. Okay, my big principle is never skip a small group. So always when I leave, I'll try to figure out some creative way how they can meet. So I said, like, go to the park and have a sharing time, or go there and pray, or I'll ask my friends to come and be a guest at a small group. Because I travel a lot, I am pretty often away from the country, and my discipleship cannot be hurt by that. So I had to figure out the way that they would have small group every week. If I'm there or I'm not there, it doesn't matter, they're going to grow. And it's on your plate to do it, that they wouldn't be hurt by your schedule. That's basically that. Take them everywhere you can. This is the this man, you probably have no idea, but he's one of the best poets in Slovakia, and he's famous by his habit that he always says that he will come somewhere to some poetry reading or concert, and then he never comes. So he's like this legend. Nobody really knows that if he exists or not. His name is Erik Jakub Groh, and it's really difficult to see him in person. So, the kids in my small group, they were reading some of his books, and I was telling them that he actually, like, moved away from the city. He lives in a wooden house in the woods. Like, he's just this really, really crazy, amazing person. So then I was going to school when I was doing my doctorate. I was going to school. I was in library, and he was there. So I called all my kids immediately from my small group. I was like, he's here, you have to go. So they came, and we had this amazing time. It was totally outside of the, I don't know, spiritual growth, but it was just such a great time for us. Like, we've seen this person who's living in the woods, you know. Just whoever you are, if you are a doctorate student, or you travel a lot, or you are an athlete, or you are an artist, just invite people and take them everywhere you can. Like, make them be part of your life, any part of your life. And this is so interesting that Dusan, my first disciple, he was giving testimony somewhere, and he said that that was the most important thing in his life, was that he was little kid who was really annoying, and he met such an interesting people, and he was going everywhere, and he knew he belonged to me. He knew he was never by himself. He knew that he can count with me. So it's basically like when you are a parent and you have children, you just have to do the same thing with them. So link areas of your life. For example, I am a writer, and this was my fourth book that was launched. And Anička, I learned very soon that she's a really great writer. She's very creative, she's very talented. So we decided to write fairy tales together. And we were meeting from time to time, we were sitting in a coffee shop, and we were writing fairy tales. And finally, the fairy tales were so good, especially her fairy tales were so good, that we decided to get published. And so that was our book launch, and we published the book together with Anička. So whatever you are doing, whatever you are good at, invite people to do it with you. Use your time wisely. I usually use my shopping time, or my walking time, or my traveling time. I always take people to train with me, because sometimes it's just too much. So I'm using the passive moments, and you just sit on a train and you are stuck there. So I even pay for ticket for people sometimes to take them with me, and we would just go somewhere, and as we travel, we make disciples. Okay, another principle is to serve them and let them serve. And these are the kids that were serving with me in Kukova, in my village. And for example, now I visited one old lady in the village when I was visiting my dad. She's a widow. And she said, like, that her roof needs to be painted. So immediately I thought, like, who are the people that I could take and could go and paint her roof? They're going to do it in 3 weeks. SOS meetings, in Slovak it means stretnutie o skupinky. It's really great if you can collect all your leaders who are doing discipleship in your church, or in your ministries, and share ideas and pray for people. So sometimes, you know, when you are stuck and you really don't feel like being creative and you really are just tired, it's so great to hear what other people are doing in your church or other leaders are doing and just collect ideas, exchange material, so you don't have to fight by yourself, because there are other people around you who do the same thing and you can be encouraged by them. Another thing is become a grandma or grandpa in some cases. And this was one of the first groups that I became a grandma of, when my girl started to disciple other people. And I cannot even tell you how proud feeling is that. If you have grandchildren, you probably know how proud you are. So that's how proud I was. And even if they have their own small groups on Facebook, I always ask to be part of it because I want to see what they're talking about, what are they doing. And it's just so great to pray over them, give them money if necessary, give them books, just help them. You know, like what grandma does. You don't have to really, or grandpa does, you don't have to really lead them. You just can be this extra help, this extra shelter they can have in you. And this is really cool. Okay? And the last principle we want to teach you today is that, unfortunately, you are never too old for this call and you are never too busy. And I wanted to show you one lady from our village. Her name is Cetka Imrova. And she is this amazing person that is discipling kids in our church, even if she's 80 years old. She's just amazing. So that's something what I decided to do. When I'm 90 years old, that's what I'm planning on doing, having people around me. Maybe they'll be 65. Then, you know, but it doesn't matter. It's just something that we are called to do throughout all our lives. And thank you so much for being so great and listen to. I know it was very full schedule and you did so well. You did great. Thank you very much.